How many here are excited about digging into God's Word and studying it today? Lately, we've been on a study of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a famous psalm, and maybe some of you here have it memorized. If you don't, it'd be a good psalm to memorize. It's full of encouragement, and it shows how awesome our heavenly shepherd God is. And the last time that we talked about Psalm 23, we focused on the first part of verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God, you are with me." And a lot of times when a shepherd wants to take his sheep to the mountaintop, he brings them through valleys. And some of those valleys are shadowed. There's danger involved. And, you know, we are the sheep of God's pasture. And friend, you might find yourself in some type of valley today. Maybe it's the valley of addiction. Maybe it's the valley of physical illness. Maybe it's the valley of a broken relationship. Maybe it's the valley of depression in your emotions. And a lot of times when people go through valley experiences, the first initial reaction is what? When people go through valley experiences, low experiences, tough and dangerous circumstances in their life, the first reaction a lot of times, and this might have been your reaction, is fear. And we talked about what fear is, F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. And that's what fear does. Fear falsely expects the worst possible outcome. And tormenting fear is not from God, it's from the devil. The Word of God tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And, you know, if you're in the valley of addiction right now, fear will tell you to think this, that you'll never get off the addiction. You may die from the addiction. You know, if you've been diagnosed with an illness, fear will tell you to think this, that you're going to die from the illness. That's what fear does. It falsely expects the worst possible outcome. If you've been in the valley of a broken relationship, fear tells you to think that you'll be a lonely person for the rest of your life. It tries to torment you in your mind. But if fear, tormenting fear, is of the devil, then what is of God? What is the opposite of fear? Faith. And what does faith do? Faith, if fear falsely expects the worst possible outcome, faith expects what? The best possible outcome. The two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, 27 through 30, they said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I'm able to restore your sight?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And their sight was restored. Their "yes, Lord," their confident "yes," was their expression of faith. They expected the very best from Jesus, the healer. And he healed them. He restored their sight. And that's what faith does. It's what pleases God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So to me, that says that with faith, it is possible to please God. And God honors faith. If you believe that God can do what His Word says, He can do for you. If you know that you know that you know on the inside, that's what faith is. Faith is knowing that you know on the inside. If you know that you know that God can do a miracle in your life, and you're believing God for it, you're not giving up in faith, God will honor that faith. He will bring about the miracle in your life. He will bring you to the mountaintop in different areas of your life. Do you agree with that today? We serve the miracle-working God, Jesus Christ, God the Son. Amen? We're going to talk about the last part of verse 4 in Psalm 23 today. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We're going to talk about some of the uses of the shepherd's rod. And these are excerpts from Philip Keller, who once had a flock of his own. One of the purposes, one of the uses of the rod was to safeguard both himself and his flock in danger. That's what a shepherd's rod does. It basically protects, helps protect the sheep. Would you agree with that? And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, friend, as your Lord and your Savior, if you've said, "You know, Jesus, you've given me this life. God, you've given me this life, but I give it back to you, and you take full control. You sit in the driver's seat of my life. You take the steering wheel of my life." If that's your attitude, you're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You are surrendered to the control of God in your life. If you've done that, then God's divine hand of protection, His divine rod of protection is over your life. And if you're in a dangerous situation, God's hand, God's invisible rod of protection is right there to rescue you. Would you agree? You can turn to Psalm 91 real quick if you'd like, or if not, I can read it to you. Psalm 91:1, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So let me say it again. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, and you've made the decision to willingly follow Jesus, then God's divine hand, divine rod of protection is over your life. Now, let me tell you a story here from my own life. Some of you may have heard this story before, but it bears repeating. I was driving my little Nissan pickup truck back in November of 96. It had just snowed, and there was ice on the ground. And I had gone to church that night, and on my way back home, I was driving a little fast, probably 40, 50 miles an hour, over a slick spot at about 101st in Delaware. And I became nervous. The car started to move a little bit. So I hit the brake real hard. I did the wrong thing. And so the truck started to spin. Thank God I had my seatbelt on. The truck began to spin and landed on the passenger side on the other side of the road. I was suspended in midair, but I was safe, not a scratch on my body, not a broken bone, not a sprained bone. I took off my seatbelt, opened up the window, and climbed out of the truck unharmed. Who was protecting me? God's divine hand of protection was there because I'm following Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And if He did it for me, if He protected me in many instances, if He did it for me, friend, He can do it for you. One time I was up on a ladder. We work on people's homes. I was up on a ladder taking something down off somebody's roof. And all at once, the bottom of the ladder began to slip. I was like about a story and a half up in the air. The bottom of the ladder began to slip. And all at once, the top of the ladder, I think, grabbed onto the gutter. And so the bottom of the ladder stopped slipping. And I was safe. Now, had the ladder slipped all the way, I would have fallen probably 15, 20 feet, and I probably would have broken some bones. But God's divine hand of protection was there in my life because Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And if He's done it for me, friend, He can do it for you. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Amen? I want to talk about another facet of the rod today, the rod of protection. Another facet of the rod of protection over our lives. In this new covenant, as new covenant, New Testament believers, what is the spiritual rod in our lives today? Obviously, it's not some physical stick that God uses, right? But what is the spiritual rod of protection for our lives today in the new covenant?
The word of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. The rod called the written word of God. And a lot of times the shepherd will use the rod to ward off coyotes and cougars and wolves. But in this new covenant, our rod, our spiritual rod is what? Say it. It's the written word of God. Say it. It is. Say it with me. It is the written word of God to ward off that old wolf called the devil. Jesus was attacked by the devil. You know, as you go about your Christian walk, as you go about your daily life, the enemy is going to try to throw spiritual attacks at you. He is going to try to spiritually tempt you. You've got to be familiar with this rod, the written word of God. You've got to know it. You've got to read it on a consistent basis. You've got to meditate, chew on what you're reading. Take notes on the scriptures that you read in the morning. Jesus was attacked by the enemy at one time. How many remember the instance in the New Testament? Remember, Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. So having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was physically hungry. How many of us here would be hungry fasting 40 days and 40 nights? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at this real quick. The spiritual attack that the devil tried to throw at Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So what did Jesus do in verse 4? He used the what? The spiritual rod, the Word of God. He said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he was quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. What was the devil tempting Jesus to do in the second temptation? He was tempting him to kill himself, to commit suicide. And what did Jesus say in verse 7 of Matthew 4? It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16. The third temptation, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, he was quoting from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. And here's the key, verse 11. It says, what about the devil? After Jesus Christ used the rod, the written word of God, three times, what did the devil do? What did that old wolf do after Jesus used the written word of God? What did he do? Verse 11. It's open book. It says that the devil left him. And the angels came and they attended him. So friends, you can rest assured if the devil tempted Jesus, the perfect one, God the Son, he is going to tempt you and me. He is going to spiritually attack you and me. What are some of the ways that the devil attacks? He can attack you with fear and worry. We talked about this just earlier. If he tries to attack you with tormenting fear and worry, thinking about the same thing over and over and over again, what do you do? You pull out the rod of God, the written word, and say, you know what? It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And the enemy will leave you. If he's trying to torment you with the thought that this disease will end in death, you quote Isaiah 53:5. By his wounds, Satan, I am healed. And the devil will leave you as well. So you've got to be familiar with the rod, the written word of God. Would you agree? And friends, you've got to read it not just once in a blue moon. You've got to read the Bible on a consistent basis. Consistent basis. Now, another purpose of the rod. Anybody here have any ideas of the shepherd's rod? Here it is. Because of their long wool, it is not always easy to detect disease, wounds, or defects in sheep. But the skilled judge will take his rod and part the sheep's wool to determine the condition of the skin, the cleanliness of the fleece, and the conformation of the body. Listen to this. He opens the fleece with the rod. He runs his skillful hands over the body. He feels for any sign of trouble. He examines the sheep with care to see if all is well. We need to run the Word of God over our spiritual wool, friends, to see if there's any spiritual disease on the inside of us. We need to measure our lives according to the standard of the written Word of God. What is one of the diseases, spiritual diseases, that so many Christians are unaware of in their own lives? That if you use the rod of God, it can tell you it's there in your life. You need to get rid of it. What is one of the diseases, spiritual diseases, that infects so many believers? And non-believers, of course. The spiritual disease called bitterness. Anybody here ever been offended? Insulted by somebody? And, you know, I talk to people all the time that say, yes, I've forgiven this person, but when they open up their mouth and they speak, out comes hatred, anger, and bitterness. And that might have been you. Maybe that's you today, where you feel that you've forgiven someone. But every time you think back to that person or the situation, out comes bitterness, anger, and hatred toward that person. And if you're living your life according to the rod of God, the written word of God, guess what? It'll tell you, you know what? Unforgiveness is in your life. Bitterness is there. You've got to release that person of the debt that you feel that they owe you. So we can use the word of God to run it over our spiritual wool and let us know if there's any spiritual disease or defect in our lives. And the word of God can help remove those defects. Would you agree? Because the word of God is full of teachings on what? On forgiveness. Letting go of the offense in Jesus' name. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. So the word of God brings comfort. We're going to talk about the staff for a few minutes. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Anybody here have any idea of the purpose, one of the main purposes of the shepherd's staff? Anybody? Have any ideas of one of the main purposes of the shepherd's staff? Real quick, yes.
Keep you in line when you go astray.
That's good. He's hit the nail on the head. The staff is also used for guiding sheep. Again and again, I have seen a shepherd use his staff to guide a sheep gently into a new path or through some gate or along dangerous, difficult routes. He does not use it to actually beat the beast. Rather, the tip of the long, slender stick is laid gently against the animal's side and pressure is applied, guiding the sheep in the way the owner wants it to go. Thus, the sheep is reassured of its proper path. So one of the main uses of the shepherd's staff is what? That's it, to lead us, to guide us into the right path. To lead and guide us in every single area of our lives. Now, God doesn't guide us with some big old wooden staff today, does he? How does God guide us today? What is the new covenant staff for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ? What is the New Testament staff for you and me as believers in Jesus Christ? Anybody have any ideas?
Spirit, is it born again?
That's it. He hit the nail on the head again, man. He's reading my message. It's the Holy Spirit. The New Testament staff that God uses in our lives is the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. It is the Holy Spirit. You got it. What does the Word of God say in Romans 8:14? That those who are led by the Spirit of God are the
sons of God.
How many sons and daughters of God are there in this room today? You're a son of God, you're a daughter of God if you've done what? If you've made Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord. Now in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God dwelt where? Where did the Spirit of God dwell in the Old Testament? He dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the temple. But what is the New Testament temple today, friend? Anybody have any ideas? What is the New Testament temple? Our bodies are the temple of God today. And so guess who lives in our temple, our bodies today? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you if you've made Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. And the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you wants to lead, guide, and direct you in every single area of your life. How many here like to know about their future, what their future holds, what steps you should take in the future? How many here like to know what their future holds? You know, what step should I take next? What school should I go to? What job should I take? What relationship should I begin? Where should I move to next? What church should I attend? What apartment community should I be in? How many here like to know about their future in some sense? Anybody? All right, some people turn to the ungodly things to find out about their future, like horoscopes, palm readers, fortune tellers, but not us as believers in Jesus Christ, right? We should be turning to whom? To find out about our futures. We should be turning to the Holy Spirit of God that is resident on the inside of us because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So if you're facing a difficult question in your life, should I marry this person? Should I move to this city? Should I go to this school? You know, should I do this, that, or the other thing? I'm here to tell you today that if the Holy Spirit is giving you a green light means what? Green light means go, right? If the Holy Spirit, if God is giving you a green light on a certain area, you'll feel peace on the inside. You'll sense God's peace on the inside. That's God's way of saying, yes, this is the way I want you to go. Walk in it. You'll have peace on the inside. God, should I begin a relationship with this person? God, should I go to this school? God, should I move to this apartment community? God, should I go to this church? God, should I get involved with this ministry? God, should I remain at this place? And if God is saying yes, the green light, you'll have a peace on the inside. Back in 2005, how many remember the tsunami that hit Asia back in December of 2004? Well, I was doing a lot of missionary work in India at the time, and I just sensed that I should do a project in South India. Bring a team out there and do some tsunami relief. And so I put together a team of four people, and two of the people were an older couple from California. And so we were going to go out in the summer of 2005. We had everything set. We had the contacts set. We had the money raised. We had the tsunami relief items that we were going to buy in India, so forth and so on. So the team was set and ready to go. Now, the night before we flew out, I received a call. It was this man from California. And he said, "Jonathan, I've got some bad news for you." He said, "I've had a medical emergency. And so my doctor is telling me right now not to travel, not to fly to India." I was like, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. My mind began to race. Did I make the wrong choice? Am I going to the wrong country? Am I not supposed to be doing tsunami relief in India right now? My mind, should I cancel the trip and reschedule it later? He's like, "Jonathan, my wife and I are not going to be able to come at this time." So I'm just praying, "God, what do I do? Should I not go or should I go?" And on the inside, I had the green light. The peace of God saying, "Go, walk. This is the way I want you to walk in." And I went. So it was me and the other team member. We flew out to South India. We taught in a Bible school. And we provided tsunami relief to an entire village who had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ once. And the entire village got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's awesome, isn't it? An entire village hearing the gospel for the very first time. So I was following the Spirit of God. The staff guiding me. "Yes, this is where I want you to go. Go walk in it. Even though you lost half your team, this is still what I'm wanting you to do." And if the Holy Spirit can guide me that way, friend, He can guide you in the same way. Now, if the Spirit of God is saying no to you on a certain question, and you get the red light, which means stop, what will be the indicator of the red light? There'll be a lack of peace on the inside. You'll have turmoil, no peace. That's God saying by the Holy Spirit, stop. Don't go that way. Get back on track. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, the world calls it this. The world calls it following your gut. We as believers call it what? Following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Is that making sense? So your rod, your written word, and your staff, your Holy Spirit, they comfort me. Amen? Does that make sense? Say it with me today. I'm going to let the Word of God, the rod, and the staff, the Holy Spirit, comfort me. In Jesus' name, amen. And I encourage you, friends, I encourage you strongly. If you've got a question for God, you know, what should I do with my life? And He's telling you yes, go ahead with it. But if He's telling you no, and you still go ahead with it, you're going to face some consequences, some negative consequences. So just obey the Spirit of God leading, guiding, and directing you. The spiritual staff called the Holy Spirit.